All right, we already got somebody. Nice. Hey, caller, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right. How you doing, Hermit?
Pretty good. Just chilling out with you guys. Just popped a beer. Going to be real casual.
Yeah. You know what? This is kind of crazy. Valentine's Day as a MGTOW, huh?
Yeah, I think, isn't it International Men's Day or MGTOW Day or whatever?
That's what I've heard, so I like it.
Yeah, figured I'd spend it with you guys.
Yeah, no, me and my other MGTOW buddy, I kind of red-pilled one of my buddies, and he got into cumin and all that, and he was married for like 30 years or something, and now he's MGTOW and done with child support and got his mortgage paid off and all that, and just living a MGTOW lifestyle. So
that sounds great.
He was just laughing. Yeah, right.
So how long has he been in the community actively absorbing this stuff?
Oh, about 2 years. Actually, you know what? No, a year. So a year coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah, he still has a lot of content to go through. There's a lot of stuff out there, not just on YouTube, but the forums and stuff.
Yeah, no, he got into the Reddit, so, and that just got banned too, didn't it?
Yeah, it got quarantined. So what that means is new users can't find it through the search engine, and posts won't appear to subscribers. They have to actively like click on the subreddit. So it pretty much just killed off all growth.
Jeez, man. I don't know. How are you doing on YouTube? Are you getting censored or anything?
Well, in the last like 8 months, I've gained about 25 subscribers. So they have totally, absolutely frozen my channel. They've removed all the videos off of recommended feeds and stuff. So, you know, I just do it because I enjoy doing it. But eventually they'll ban me.
I'm one of those 25 subscribers, though.
Oh, you're one of the new guys?
Yeah. No, your intro music and stuff really hooked me, too. But I've heard you on TFM show and whatnot, so.
Yeah, it's cool. I really miss being on the TFM show. It's just, it's terrible for my schedule. So I think I'll be on tomorrow night. But yeah, I try to make his Saturday shows. It's just, you know, I don't have much time, so.
Yeah. Well, geez. Yeah, this is great. So do you do call-in? Is this your first call-in? This is my first call-in to a MGTOW show. Do you do call-ins?
Yeah, no, I have call videos going back like 2 years ago. But I have a little weird format, so I don't have a schedule. So whenever I can find time, I just, you know, open up a stream. And then I don't upload the whole streams, because what that does is it encourages troll callers to call in. And, you know, so I just take the best calls and I upload those.
Oh, all right. Jeez, yeah, I don't know. This is a new experience for me, man. It's first time actually getting active. It wasn't a MGTOW Facebook group or something.
Yeah, well, tell me about your MGTOW path.
Oh, jeez. So I was dating this chick. Oh, this is, I can tell you how, so my last relationship was over 3 years ago, actually. And so I was dating this chick, and I was just getting sober. I don't drink anymore. I got 4 years sober, like February 6th. So that's cool. And this chick and I were kind of having many arguments, and I started listening to Red Pill Knowledge while I was dating her. And it's just, I felt like I was walking on eggshells all the time. I broke up with her like 3 times, got back together with her, she broke up with me. So that's when, you know, it's really done, is when they break up with you, I guess. And then I dived really deep into this, and I've just been noticing just relationship problems everywhere. My parents are divorced. Nobody's happy. The simping that happens with these married dudes, I just can't imagine being controlled like that when there are so many laws on the books for the women to kind of screw over men. It's like a fear-based system marriage is. And I've dated and gone on a few dates with chicks, and it is all transactionary. It really, if you don't pay for dates, you don't go on them. And if you just want to have sex, you know, that's also very easy to get just doing that. But I don't want to lie or manipulate women. So it's just better to kind of be the happy, humble hermit, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not fully celibate. When I made the channel, I was in monk mode, and then I go out of monk mode and then come back into it. So I alternate. But I'm kind of the opposite. I don't really have a problem manipulating women. You know, I don't actively go out of my way to do it because it just takes so much effort. But once you know female nature, like, the book's open, you can do certain things to get certain responses. I don't know if that counts as manipulation or just understanding how they react to certain stimuli. So, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't, there's a few women in my life that, actually, this is funny. There's this one chick that I love. I love her, but she's older. She has 3 kids, whatever. I wouldn't date her. You know, maybe sex with her, but she didn't want to, she says she still has the pair bonding thing. And I respect that. That's cool. So we can maintain friends. She asked me to help her move once, and I said that I didn't want to be objectified for my upper body strength, and we're still friends. So, but I set my MGTOW friend up with her. So I'm interested to see how that goes for them. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys think in the community that you can't interact with women or anything. My girlfriend asked me to move furniture, and I said, fuck no. And then she had some other guy help her move furniture so he can lift. He can do all the lifting and shit and then simp for her. You know, everyone has a utility. So.
You let an orbiter do that for
her? I'm not going to fucking...
Was he an orbiter?
Yeah, I'm sure he's an orbiter, but, you know, orbiters finish beyond dead last.
Last.
So I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know, MGTOW experience, in my sobriety, I've formed really strong relationships with a lot of fellas in a fellowship that I'm in, and that's been really great, and I think I've helped men kind of...
Yeah, tell me
really
more about that. What kind of fellowship?
Oh, it's an anonymous one. But it has to do with sobriety. I'm sure you could guess it.
Is it in person or is it over the internet?
In person. So, groups, yeah.
That's really cool.
So, yeah. No, it's... Well, drinking wasn't working out for me, which sucks because I really enjoyed it. But what do you do?
Yeah, everything in moderation, you know.
I can't moderate it. It sucks. Mm. So, you know what? Speaking of that, there was a Thinking Ape or Stardust video where he's talking... Oh, no. It was a Quasimandias video where he's talking about how some men have to abstain. He was making references to AA with MGTOW. Some people can moderate, you know, their relations with women, and some men have to...
Yes, that's a great topic, and so I haven't seen that video, but I immediately understand the analogy. That's a great analogy for that. I think I have a call video from a year ago. It's called Know Your Red Line, and so a lot of guys project monk mode onto a lot of the other guys in the community because they can't handle bachelor lifestyles, and so I'm not saying one is better than the other. Monk mode is absolutely awesome for productivity. Whenever I'm in monk mode, I achieve 10 times what I already achieve now. But that doesn't mean I can't handle and create limitations for my bachelor lifestyle. You know, so I can still interact and set up those guidelines and put those lines in the sand. And once those lines are crossed, I'm out. I'm back to monk mode. And some guys, you're right, can't do that. They can't set that moderation for themselves, which is fine. And I totally respect the self-awareness it takes to understand that. I would recommend continuing to work on that. But while you're working on that, yes, monk mode is the best option. But it's not a blanket check for everyone in the community. Like, there are guys out there who have moderation, who can control their impulses, who don't automatically become diehard simps when they're given female attention. So that's a good analogy that you brought up.
Yeah, well, it was actually Quasimandia. So do you ever watch his channel?
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff. He does collabs with Human, right?
Yeah, man, he's heavy. So, and I don't agree with him on a lot of points, but he's good. I really enjoyed his channel. So, and I've watched, I think I binged a few of your videos too. Man, I watched so many freaking MGTOW videos.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's different videos for all different types of guys, whatever mood they find themselves in.
In different stages, yeah.
Yeah, I try to, like, some of my essays get kind of metaphysical and abstract, and then that's why I balance it out with the call videos, where it's just, you know, two dudes talking the shit. So, something for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, speaking of dancing that line, I've been trying to actually dance that line as well. It's been interesting.
How so?
Trying to figure out my, so there was this, about, what was it? 2 or 3 months ago, I did the little tango, a tango with this 24-year-old chick after she texted me, no strings attached. So I went and did that, and then there were strings attached. She was asking me for favors and
How
stuff
old
like that. And I'm in my early 30s.
Okay.
So, but yeah, man, it was interesting because I had to keep. I saw that she was trying to manipulate me, but I don't think it was even conscious. It was, you know, the female nature type deal. But I was setting these boundaries, and it's, I don't know, man. It's interesting to figure out what those lines are. I like women that are old enough to figure out and spiritually fit enough to understand what they're saying and live up to the standards that they preach and want to live by. But when they get to that point, it kind of defeats the purpose of dating them. You know what I'm saying? So as far as the
age
of, you know, where they could actually have kids.
When you're doing that, figuring out your guidelines is a process. I can share some of mine. Girls my age, I'm 23, you know, girls my age, they're in their prime, so they have their selection of the buffet of cock. So they have high standards, they're picky, they're temperamental. All women are, but especially women my age. Typically, I relegate them for, like, friends with benefits for a little bit. But if there's any, like, short-term or long-term relationship, you have to provide for yourself. You have to have your own job and career and shit. Keep yourself busy 5 days a week because I don't have time to do that. Then
be a true feminist.
Their
ideal of feminism.
Exactly.
Equal rights, equal responsibilities.
Exactly.
And if they can't do it, then you call them out for it. That's it.
Use gynocentrism against itself. You want to be a strong, independent woman? Good. Pay for yourself. that's my motto.
Right. So, and just don't get them pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. Never have unprotected sex or get a vasectomy. I was leaning towards that, but then I backed out. I don't think I want to do that. So I'm fine just using condoms.
Yeah. I thought about doing that too, but there's something about, I don't know, the fertility
Yeah, it's not that. They say it doesn't affect testosterone. I don't believe it, so I don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah, I don't really.
So I'll just wear a garbage bag. I don't care.
Yeah. Dude, I heard this funny joke. It's sex with a condom isn't actually having sex. And then it said, hear me out. If you wear gloves and you wash your hands, could you really wash your hands?
I did see that. And, you know, it's a joke, but it's also a representation of female rationalization. They will hamster themselves out of any situation. So, yes, I'm a virgin because I've only had condom sex, you know, like.
All right.
Don't ever underestimate their ability to hamster.
Oh, my gosh. No, and actually, with that 24-year-old, I didn't even didn't even climax, dude. I was too, like, freaked out by, like, this situation. Because, you know, I got the no-strings-attached sex, and then I got the thank you for sex after sex. So I was in the clear. But it was just a, it was a weird freaking, man, dude, if I can't connect with someone and be honest with someone and be on at least a similar level, I don't think I can really even enjoy sex, you know? Yeah. But that's at a certain point,
yeah,
we're at.
I can understand
that. I
don't
even know that's possible.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. I approach it from a different angle. I understand that I'm never going to relate to them on any meaningful level.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, some women are better to talk to than others, obviously, but beyond, like, superficial stuff, anything we talk about here on the call-ins or on my channel or on other videos, never going to have those types of conversations. So I'm not really looking for anything beyond, like, superficial connections like that, so I don't really care about that. My thing, it's graduated to time. So it's like, if I'm going for girls my age, the time it takes to get with some of these girls, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's easier to just rub one out and move on with my day. Or even I've done some reviews of sex toys on my channel. Like, those are more than enough if you get into those.
Just keep your
options open.
I tried one. So, and I tried two. They both broke on me. Damn it, TFM.
Which one did you try?
But I don't know, the spinning one.
Oh my God, the spinning robot. I broke my first spinning robot pussy too. So don't feel ashamed.
Yeah, man. Well,
I broke mine. I was upset. That thing is awesome. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was good for a bit, but I don't know. And then, you know, with the whole freaking, what is it, the corona, you know, massages are out of the question now. It sucks. But, I don't know. So those are some good rules. Here are some of mine. I refuse to text women because it really is a waste of my time. And, when they can text you and they expect a response, you know, so I just don't text women. I'll call them I won't text them back. That's a big thing. And, that curbs a lot of women off right away because when you take the ability of them to, like, get a hold of you immediately, it kind of drives them either nuts or away. Either way kind of freaking helps me out.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on those pickup artist forums and videos and all that shit, they'll say to, like, not text women to appear like you're busy and interesting. Like, you get to the point when you're nicked out where you actually are busy and interesting. So I get to the point where it's like, I'll check my phone 3 times a day. And that's when I'll respond, you know, because I'm doing shit. I don't have time to be glued to my phone. So,
I actually talked to 5 alcoholics before I called this show. And one of them, trying to help one of them get his headlight back in his car. But yeah, no, it's just, it truly, when you go MGTOW and, you know, you actually are kind of living for yourself, and part of living for myself is trying to help other people, and by other people, I mean men.
Yeah, that's great.
The ones that can actually help back after, you know? Helping a woman is kind of an endless pit. Helping a man is an investment.
Yes,
in
that's
him
absolutely
and
true.
In you. So,
well put.
But yeah, so you do get busy. Your life gets together. And then the women really start coming in.
Yeah, that's the irony. That's the irony.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah, really,
the guys...
We've been told that our whole lives, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they will... If you don't set your boundaries, like we were talking about earlier, they will come in and destroy everything you built for yourself using MGTOW. So...
Absolutely.
It is absolutely a dangerous game. I know guys in the community... We talk about the false accusation and all that stuff, and I 100% agree with that. You know, any woman can falsely accuse you for anything on any day. That is an incredible risk.
Yeah, wrong.
An incredible risk.
Yeah,
but,
wrong day.
Yes, yes. But I also believe that there are really huge red flags that you would have missed from a false accuser. Someone who would false accuse you has glaring red flags that you looked over and you didn't miss. I'm not blaming men who got falsely accused. I'm just saying there are indicators of a crazy bitch before she does something crazy like that. So, yes, all women can falsely accuse you.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Keep going. You go ahead.
Oh, no. I would say yes. I agree with you with one caveat. It depends on how many options the chick has left. If you've been married to her for 30 years and then she divorces you, you know, and she let you provide for her for those 30 years, I'd say you're on the hook for some false accusations to make sure she gets what she needs.
Oh, yeah, for the family court. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so those red flags aren't necessarily red flags until she gets bored or changes her mind.
As you said, women develop false flags over time. They may start interested and then they get bored later in the marriage and then they just go nuclear and destroy the family. And falsely accuse you in divorce court.
Like
the owner. Yeah, but
the owner of my company, multimillionaire, like dude, you know, family, business that's been in his family for like three generations. Suddenly, out of the blue, she's freaking divorcing him, and like you know, he's a good religious guy. All he does is probably go to church, hang out with his dad, and work his ass off to make sure that the business is in good supply. I'm speculating, but I'll bet you anything it's not enough time with the family, you know, or the business isn't going great, but you're spending a bunch of time. So it looks like it's going under. I'm going to pull the cord and grab my alimony, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so scary. Why would you ever want to get married? And with the false accusations and whatnot, it's, I think the best guard for that besides abstinence, it's funny how religion was correct. Abstinence is the best defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best defense against that is complete and total transparency and honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. Yeah, every girl I'm with, I'm absolutely clear up front, no cohabitation, no marriage. And then whether or not I want to extend it with them, I'll say, like, we're just friends with benefits. Or if we're dating or something, I'm like, yeah, you know, up front, you're paying for yourself. You're doing all these things independently of me. And here's the roadmap. Here are my limitations. There are hard rules. If you still want to stick around, that's your prerogative. But I'm telling you up front, these are my rules. And if any red flags come up, because obviously all women have some semblance of a red flag. Some are minor, some are major.
Red flags too,
we have red flags as well. But I'm saying they're red flags. Some can be minor and just like character based, and some can be dangerous red flags that will fuck you up. And if you notice any of those, just cut tail and run. Obviously, if you want to be 100% safe, muck mode. But as we saw with Kavanaugh, like, they'll just make shit up if they want to. If you're in a position of power and she wants something to take. Exactly. If she wants something from you, she will make shit up. So at the end of the day, there's no guaranteed absolute protection. Just keep records, keep alibis. You know, that's the fucking state of the world that we're in right now. So.
Yeah, man. Jeez. Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Do you have callers and stuff on the other line?
Yeah, a couple callers, but I've enjoyed your talk so far. So if you want to keep going, we can chill for a bit.
Yeah, let's do. What other subjects? You know, as far as, I don't know, man. Like, I'm part of this Facebook MGTOW group. It's a closed group. Don't join open MGTOW groups.
Well,
you might post
something
by accident.
I deleted Facebook.
So your family gets
I deleted my Facebook after I graduated from high school. I was just using it to get girls while I was in high school. You know, it's superficial. So I have no idea what is MGTOW on the Facebook platform.
Tell our viewers about it. There's a couple good groups. One that I like particularly, it's just a closed group. People can see that you're in it, but they can't see what you post. And it's pretty good. I'd say about 20% of the posts on there are pretty good, positive MGTOW stuff, and the rest of it is what the rest of the MGTOW groups are, which is kind of talking shit on women and talking shit on simps. So I think Human actually does have the best view of that, that when MGTOW men that are self-actualized past the red pill rage are talking about women, they're not talking about women, they're talking about us, our issues that we have with women, not necessarily the women themselves, but our issues. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
When we're talking about
yeah.
women.
So. You know, and I look at the MGTOW subreddit, and I look at other MGTOW videos. A lot of it is kind of hateful towards women, and I don't discredit that at all because I went through the rage phase too. You know, I binged on those videos
it's
when I first found MGTOW.
It's an important
it is.
Phase. Yeah.
It's an important phase. It's a necessary phase. Every guy has to go through it.
And
it's totally fine.
It's the loudest phase.
It is. It's the loudest,
phase.
And it's where the majority of the men find themselves. Like those posts, those videos, those Facebook groups, they get the most attraction when it's those topics. I understand that. But there has to be something in place for those guys to move on to the next step. And that's why you have those ideas of, no, it's not this woman or this ex or that ex-girlfriend or this ex-wife. It's female nature, you know. So once you get to that point where you're not upset at individual women or groups of women and you're just more understanding their nature, their biological imperatives, you can't be upset at that because it's just nature. You know, you just understand
right.
it and learn to navigate it.
Hypergamy is actually a good thing. We should all understand that on some level. The fact that uncontrolled hypergamy is bad. There's no checks anymore. But hypergamy itself is a good thing. Just like our dominance instinct is a good thing. There just has to be checks. There's too many checks on our dominance now. Like, we can't fist, like, I got in a fight with a roommate because he was kind of a creep, and he didn't want to press charges, but I still went to jail for 2.5 weeks and freaking got charged with, you know, simple assault and on a male roommate and shit. And, you know, 50 years ago, the cops would have come and been like, well, is it done or do you guys need to go a little bit more, you know? The checks on our dominance have been overreached, and the checks on hypergamy have been completely eliminated.
Yeah, I agree with that. Unrestrained hypergamy is destructive to society. It undermines the basic building blocks of any civilization, which is men and women, the family unit. If you don't have the basic pairing systems in check, then you don't have anything. Because men build societies, and if they have no driving incentive to do that, which is the pairing system, the mating system, if that is in ruins, that's literally, think of like a Jenga tower. That's the bottom foundation. You take that away, everything else falls apart.
Yeah, now they're trying to get rid of even shame itself. You know, like, shame, well, we're getting rid of shame because we're finding out that shame is the last bastion of check that they're trying to control us with. So that's, I mean, overchecked dominance leads to people getting super tribalist about their football teams and crying about it and shit and thinking they're part of that team.
So yeah, it's more just, like, the, I think, like the Islam culture, overchecked dominance versus the West, unchecked hypergamy.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Islam and whatnot, their dominance is checked by their religion, but they can express their dominance. You know, as far as, like, dude, I saw this messed up video of some chick actually getting stoned to death on Facebook. It was pretty messed up. So there's checks with hypergamy, and there's how they express it. I mean, it was rough. It was like freaking kids throwing rocks at this lady and like, oof, rough. But that's maybe a little bit, it needs to be checked probably a little bit more than that, you know, maybe just to the point where women can't take half of men's shit if they're the ones cheating and wanting the divorce. You know, let's just start there.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right. I know. That, dude, TFM and just listening to, I used to think that Democratic Republic was the bee's knees, dude. And now I'm really starting to realize what, I think it was Churchill that said, democracy is the worst form of government, with the exception of all the other ones.
Yeah, I think he said like a 2-minute conversation with the average citizen disproves democracy or something like that. You know, it's the best form. Yeah. It's the best system we have so far out of everything. But you, don't worry about it too much. You know, you got socialism coming into America soon. So
I know, dude. I've been buying guns like crazy. It's been fun. So, but just for target practice and hunting, you know, but then having fun, and I do a lot of backpacking, so it's nice to have a gun with you, make sure you don't get eaten by a squirrel or something. But yeah, man, when it comes to there's this chick, you know, one of the TradCon chicks, Jennifer Malensky. Her YouTube page is kind of interesting. So she gets into, there is a new form of TradCon type person where they're, I don't know, they're red pill, but they don't necessarily want, I don't know, man.
Oh, there's so some, you're tricky falling for it. Out there. They're getting you. You're falling for it. Interesting.
Yeah. No,
man. Well, they're chameleons.
Well, I know, but falling for what, dude? Like, I'm not going to get married, and I don't think I could trust another human being to have a child with. So, like, how are they actually catching me?
They get you.
But do I? No.
They're the face. They're the representative for the growing number of self-proclaimed TradCon women. You know, so they put that seed of doubt into your head that maybe not all women are like this. Maybe some women actually are self-aware and understanding of the values of hypergamy. I mean, the values of monogamy and the dangers of hypergamy and controlling and being submissive to your husband are good things. You know, when I look at these TradCon women on YouTube, they're just regurgitating what basic level guys have said. You know, that's all they're doing, is just regurgitating basic ideas. They're not applying ideas. They're not applying it to their lives. They're just saying like little quotes. That's what I've seen. And then I see guys who comment on my channel and other MGTOW channels totally falling head over heels for these women, proclaiming them as unicorns. And it's really annoying when I see that, because
yeah,
they have the benefit of not being censored. And then they also have the benefit of being in a position where they could distort our ideas that we talk about, our masculine community we've built, where we can have these honest discussions, and they take just the surface level discussion topics and just run with that. They don't go any deeper. It's very simplistic, I think.
I have to agree, but there are like the honey badger chick, whatever her name is. You know who I'm talking about with her?
She's like, no,
got a foot haircut. Oh, man. Well, there's some out there that walk the walk, and there's this other chick that does, like, yeah. So there's some.
Do they, though? Do they walk the walk? What was her name? Lauren Southern? Didn't she get outed as being fake?
No, not Lauren Southern, dude. No, not her.
But that's all of them. That's all of them. The other ones just haven't gotten caught yet.
You know what? When I comment, my name is not my real name, but it's Ledge Journeyman. So if you see comments from Ledge Journeyman, I'll post the videos and maybe you can take a look at them and see what you think. Don't spend too much time, but they're pretty interesting, and a couple of them actually go to court to get guys that have been falsely accused exonerated. So they walk the walk in that way. So they actually have gotten men acquitted from false accusations. And I think both of the ones that I'm thinking about that do that are in Canada. So, I don't know. But, what else? Yeah, man. Let's see, politics. What's bothering you lately when it comes to living life as a MGTOW?
Nothing
I
much.
can't read
I
books
don't.
or watch movies anymore.
Yeah, I don't have any bothers at all. I try to keep a
No?
positive state of mind. For what you were talking about, I made a video where I talked about the new Star Wars movie. And basically, I said everything is propaganda nowadays, so we have to make our own stuff. And that's basically was the message of it. So I've just been working on my game. I have a MGTOW book I'm working on, but I also have like a MGTOW fiction novel I'm working on too. So, that's where I've just taken my frustration out is in creative outlets because, everything is corrupted. Movies, TVs, TV shows, video games, books, art, everything is fucking
It's everywhere, dude.
disgusting.
You
So you know
can't
what?
escape
Now's the time. There's a huge
it.
void to be filled with real meaningful stuff, real meaningful art. So you just got to do it yourself.
Yeah, you know the way the way I've been combating it. It's funny that as far as the entertainment version or the art version of life, like I don't even listen to music anymore, dude. Like I listen to like one or two songs, maybe three songs a week. So, and the rest of it is listening to guys like you, dude, or TFM or Human, Quasimandias, Coach Greg Adams. I was listening to Stefan Molyneux. That's an interesting dude, huh?
I do. I want to call in sometime later this year when I have time. I want to talk to Stefan. He's a cool dude. I like him.
Man, he just fucking smashes. I've heard him smash a few MGTOW guys and whatnot. At least he's starting to understand it. So, but Jordan Peterson, listen to him. Eric and Brian Weinstein, I think it is. I don't know. All that, man. I listen to that, and the rest of my time that I'm not consuming, I'm like trying to help guys get sober, backpacking, shooting, cleaning my room.
That sound, you know, that sounds like a beautiful MGTOW path. And when you get to the point where you're out of the rage phase and you're out of that hatefulness and then you can start to give back, that's the best place to be in. That is where everyone should strive to be.
I think so too, dude. No one should want to live any different, man. You should, I mean, we're built to provide. Let's provide for ourselves and the people that can accept our help.
Exactly.
So, and
Yeah,
I
I've
do a
said
little,
that. I've said that a couple times. You don't want to lose that provisional nature, that nature of the caretaker, because that's natural to you. You're built to do that. You're built to want that, and that's okay. You don't have to hate yourself for wanting to give back and contribute and provide. It's how you do that is what you have to focus on, and letting other people take advantage of that nature. You have to control it and then give it back. In a controlled fashion to who you want to give it to, instead of just giving it to everyone who's undeserving and even women who will take advantage of that. So don't lose that nature, just control it and give it back in your own way.
Yeah, no, well, I can't lose it because I have to live that way in order to maintain my sobriety, actually. So when I say I'm MGTOW and I'm trying to help other people, that's actually contingent on me keeping my sobriety with my fellowship, my real fellowship. That's just, I don't know. I guess you could call it a religion or whatever. But no, it's and the tango that I'm trying to do right now is I'm really trying to decipher helping from enabling. So, and there's a few things that I've been trying to learn. Like, this is something that I've been working on where when a philosophy has been infused with an identity, neither can change. And so you've got to figure out if someone is identifying with a certain philosophy or if it's just something they prescribe to until they find something better. So when people are married to certain ideas, but they're asking for your help or they're miserable, but they won't let go of that anchor of their perspective or their philosophy because they identify with it, you can't help them. So I'm really trying to figure out enabling from helping. And I do waste time with people to figure out better ways to waste less time with other people later.
Wow. That was, yeah, that's great. That, you know, that is something that I've struggled with too. Not just with MGTOW, just, you know, in my own teaching experience. It's a tricky thing. And the sooner you can identify signs where people are steadfast in their ways and they're just looking for an avenue to vent and maybe get some sympathy so they can continue mm-hmm. their bad habits, the sooner you can identify that, the sooner you can move on. Plant the seeds that could grow into something else so they can do it themselves, but you can't do it for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... So what... Do you ever listen to Eckhart Tolle? Ever?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that channel. What is that?
Okay, well, he's... he got his... Okay, don't judge, but... He got his recognition and his startup from on Oprah, but he wrote a book. He's like this German guy that was on the brink of like suicide and super depressed. And TFM has talked about him a few times, but he's the one that had a thought where he said, I can't stand myself. And then he took a step back from that statement and he said, who is I and who is myself? And he identified ego. And he talks about, you know, attachment and detachment and frickin' living in the present. And, yeah, man, I'm trying to figure out, you know, if or what I should attach myself to or place attachment on. Because attachment is, I don't know, it can be a really good thing, I think, or a really bad thing. So it's, I've took quite the spiritual journey mm-hmm. this last 4 years. So, yeah.
Yeah. I try not to.
MGTOW and sobriety and, yeah.
My personal view on that is I try to be as detached as possible. So, obviously, I still take mm-hmm. care of my mind, my spirit, and my body. But, you know, God forbid I get in an accident tomorrow. You know, my body is temporary and it'll age, uh-huh. as does my mind. And my spirit, you know, it'll come and go with the challenges that approach me. And, you know, sometimes you won't be able to act on all the principles that you have if you're trying to be smart about things. Obviously, there are guys who are willing to die on the sword, fall on the sword and die for their principles. And I am to an extent uh-huh. as well, but I am more Machiavellian. You know, so I could
yeah.
forfeit some principles to serve the greater principles, serve the greater purpose. And that's just being detached from situations and trying to keep
yeah.
An understanding that you're not in control of situations and people and challenges. You're only in control of how you respond to them. And that's kind of
right,
my guiding
no,
principle.
You're only in control of your reactions or your actions. So that's, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing you should really worry about. But you touched on an interesting subject. I've actually thought to myself, what would I be willing to actually die for today? And it was, okay, this kind of hit me hard. My grandma was like a freaking... like a badass old lady, you know, like super American. And she stayed married to my grandpa until he died, never remarried. And she just recently passed like 2 years ago, just a stand up classy lady, you know, and I guess a tradcon or whatever, but you know, they don't make women like they used to, as far as, you know, enforced, you know, or, controlled hypergamy. And she was religious. She loved my grandpa. My grandpa adored her. Great. But she was the type of person that she actually watched me beat up a bully because I was scared to beat up a bully. And she had principles that she would die for. And my mom, you know, good lady, but I'm buying guns, and she's like, well, you know, why are you asking these serious questions of what would you die for, what would you fight for? And I said, well, Ma, like, if they asked to take away all the guns or whatever, her first thought or her first response was not, well, it depends on what the consequence was, you know, versus, no, I wouldn't let them take my guns. So I'm trying to figure out at what point, what would I die for? And it really just does come down to my autonomy. So what would you die for, so, happy humble hermit?
I can bring this back. I have an earlier call posted, I think, a year and a half ago. It's about 57 minutes. And this guy called in, and we talked about China and, like, living within China.
Uh-huh.
And this also comes back to what I was reading this morning. So there's been civilian journalists in China reporting on the coronavirus, and they've been kidnapped and taken by the Communist Party, and they've been effectively killed. So I was thinking back to that call. I was thinking back to that call, and I was like, would I die? Because I clicked on the link of one of these civilian journalists, his last video before he got taken, and it got 92,000 views on YouTube. And so maybe add like another 10 or 20,000 for like links from news articles. So let's say 100,000 views. So this guy got kidnapped and tortured and killed by the Communist Party to tell 100,000 people on YouTube to resist and rise up. That was his last message. And then of the 100,000 who watched that, I'd say maybe 10,000. Nah, probably like 2,000 would seriously consider doing anything like that. And then of those 2,000 who would actually act on those impulses, you know, I don't have a great opinion of the common people. Like, you know, they're subservient. The American Revolution War, how many were loyalists to England, you know, versus the number of patriots? Look at those figures and understand.
Wasn't it like 5%?
Yeah, like understand.
5% actually fought that, yeah.
Exactly. Understand that most people will not fight and they will not support you when you fight for their freedoms. So once you understand that, during that call, I was talking about how you could still live within an oppressive government. Obviously, you're not going to be thriving as much as you would in a free country like the U.S., but, you know, you can still go your own way and thrive to a degree and then try to get out of that in whatever shape that is. But once those oppressive systems go worldwide, then there's really nowhere to go. And that gets to the question.
I wouldn't leave the United States. So there is a line. You just got to figure out where it is in your own life.
Well, what happens when that comes to the United States and now you can't leave? So, like, let's look at the national surveillance system coming to the U.S.
Already
being implemented. I think in China this year, they're going to have, I think, 600 million cameras throughout China. And I think the system is called Skynet.
I'm talking to you on a freaking, you know, device. It's like, there was another saying where it was like, we all were scared of the, you know, surveillance state coming. We never thought that we would, you know,
in our pockets. It's here. It's just not as open.
Yeah.
So in my own life, I've had people target me with the most serious shit you could imagine and try to take me down with that. And if I ever got doxxed, they could use that to destroy my life. And I think MGTOW is almost on the SPLC hate list. I don't know if it's official. I think it's mentioned on their website. Uh-huh. So they could easily, if I was ever doxxed, I would probably be unemployable if they just did hit pieces against me, and that would effectively like force me out of the country. And so that's just one MGTOW YouTuber. And now the subreddit is quarantined, and they can do stuff where they can track your IP address and see where you're posting. They just had a hit piece, I think it was the Atlantic or something, where they had some kind of radical shooter in the Navy, and the top accusation they threw before they said he was a white supremacist and a neo-Nazi, they said he literally visited, they literally dropped the name, they said he visited the Men Going Their Own Way subreddit like multiple thousands of times. They dropped that before neo-Nazi, before KKK, before white supremacy. They put that in the article, and they used that as the incentive. Yeah, I believe they used that as the incentive to quarantine the subreddit, that article. So, you know, they will oppress you. It's just how much are you willing to put up with. You know, obviously, I love freedom. I make videos. I talk about it. Am I going to go mobilize with the militia and and do something there? I don't think so. No, probably not. So,
I've got I don't have a militia, but I've got a group of friends, you know, and yeah. So it's, that are red pill and, you know, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out a line for me. Like, because I work in roughneck trades, so, you know, doxing really wouldn't hurt me too much. I still don't want to do it. You know, you don't want to test the waters on that. But, yeah, man, I was talking with that chick that I love that I was telling you about with the three kids that's over 40, and she had an interesting perspective where, I mean, you said you were 23-ish?
Yeah, I'm 23.
Okay, so when I was like 16 or whatever, I got my first cell phone at 16, I think. And before that, you know, you walked out the door and you were just free without a cell phone, and you couldn't record anything, and anything that you said or did that was just stupid beyond all reason, you know, eventually you could get over it. People would forget it. They would forgive. And at a certain point down the road, this girl that I like was saying that we have to come to a common consensus that something said today may not and could not and should be forgiven tomorrow if you change your stance. There has to, human beings cannot be freaking responsible for everything they say on the internet forever. It's illogical to even think that way. That, I mean, you can't. And the matter of fact, I've been deleting basically everything that I've posted on Facebook over the last year or so, because I just don't want people to look back and see it in their memories or whatever. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I have something that might destroy the dream you have, but there's something called the Wayback Machine, which can just look at all your messages before you deleted them. So everything on the internet is permanently archived.
I understand that, but so if you had my Facebook page, you could get that machine and see everything that I've already deleted?
Yeah, I just put your domain, your Facebook profile in the URL address on the Wayback Machine, and then I can look when it was created, and then I can go by month and see what you added periodically. And that's for
no
everything.
Fucking way. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So this is an NSA technology. You can do that.
Yeah, I can do that. So that's why if there was someone in the government that watched my channel and wanted to fuck me up, I really couldn't do much to stop them. You know, like, I've taken all the precautions I can, but if they really wanted to direct fucking FBI technology, I'm toast. What I'm trying to protect myself against are the fucking Twitter brigaders, the average cucks, the feminists, the average people. I've done a good job to protect myself so far.
And not that you have any legal consequences, but I'm sure you don't have any legal consequences, but the social consequences are worse than if you had done something illegal. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's a witch hunt, or I guess it's a warlock hunt. But yeah, everything is archived. If they get you, you're fucked. That's why doxing is like the number one thing you should be concerned about, and you should never give your identity away. Which sucks, you know. I'd love to do like a convention and meet you guys and chill with you guys and have a beer, but I can't. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So.
I know, dude, that's another thing that, man, I'm just getting red pill aware and whatnot and actually talking to people. You realize that We all have biases. We all have blind spots. I have them. I've had them, and I will continue to find them throughout the rest of my life. Hopefully, that means I'm continuing to grow. But the people that refuse to even acknowledge their blind spots, man, it's just, I don't know. So when it comes to meeting people within the, you know, there's people on the Facebook MGTOW group that I see post and whatnot, and it's like, Jesus, dude, like, you've got a lot of growing to do. And I don't even want to call them out on it because, I don't know. It's just, then the dominance instinct comes up, and man, you know, I thought that, I truly believe that if you remove females and you can get through the red pill rage, our dominance instinct will kind of collectivize and we can achieve great things. But man, when the red pill rage dominance is still in there, where I'm right, you're wrong, it is, you're right, it's dangerous.
Yeah, you're not going to find any front to unify men as a whole. You're not. That's never going to happen. That's a dream that I had for a while, but just doing this and seeing the community from this aspect, it's not going to happen. So the best you can do is just help men save themselves. But there's no way to really organize anything anyways, if you think about it. So going back to that example of the Revolutionary War, they mobilized themselves. They met in like pubs, right? And in bars and shit, and they would mobilize there. Now, if we held some kind of convention, that would be infiltrated so fast, and everyone would be doxxed.
Oh, yeah, dude. Shut down. Like, Stefan Molyneux can't even have fucking shit without... Dude, Ben Shapiro tried to have a conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. And, you know, it's a religious state or whatever. And Antifa showed up in Salt Lake City with fucking weapons, dude, to get it shut down. Like, there's not really a way to organize.
Yeah, there's not. So, I mean, if they have weapons, like, yeah, you can beat them. But then what happens when you lose your job?
Well, no, you look at the Proud Boys.
Yeah, I know. But what happens when the police are on their side? Or even if there's no demonstration and you just get doxxed and you lose your jobs because they send it to your employers and the employers cave because they're scared of legal action. So there's no way to mobilize. Yeah. There's no way to gather. We can't have meetings. We can't have assemblies. So, you know, the oppression is here. It's just not as overt as something like China.
Yeah, no, that's the scary thing, man. It's, I don't know, I'm almost to the point where I'm rooting for accelerationism. Mm. Simply because, dude, it's just...
I had this conversation with TFM a couple of months ago, and I was just playing devil's advocate to talk about it. But he made great points.
Oh, I think I'll try to find
the link to it. But it's like, I can imagine you're not ready for the collapse for tomorrow. If it happened tomorrow, would you survive? I don't think so. So I don't know what kind of prepping
I'll tell you a little secret. And this is just from prepper nerdom. Freaking 22, man. 22 is the legit when it comes to hunting because you can carry more. I've got land. You know, I've got some. You're right. I wouldn't survive, but I've got a better chance than most. And even in the state that I'm in, there's a pretty good community. So my state would fare better than the majority of states. So
yeah, I mean, when I meet guys who want accelerationism, I find two things. I find two things with those guys. They're bored and they want to return to how things were. And so where I stand is that I enjoy where I'm at now. Obviously, I would love it if we lived in a functional, normal society, obviously. But I have technology. I have entertainment. I'm working on my own stuff. I'm doing my career. I'm making money. I'm chilling out, you know, I'm having a beer and talking to a dude who I don't even know where you are, but we're having a great conversation from across distances, you know, and this is great technology and opportunities at the end of a golden age that we get to experience because the dark age is coming and future generations will have to deal with that. And so I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts now. I don't want that to end and to die of fucking dysentery.
Dysentery or fucking, something horrible. But, and I'm with you on that. Like, I completely agree. And it's not that I want necessarily, I'll put it this way. Like, okay, we both, you believe that charity is, I view charity as a good thing because charity comes with expectations and standards. And if you don't, if you don't do certain things, then you don't get my help because I want you to be self-sustaining by your own contributions. That's the stipulation of getting charity from me. Whereas welfare, there's very few standards and expectations. So, when they're taking away church's ability to really do charity effectively, and everybody's on welfare, it's crazy how many people are on welfare. I would almost want to go the route of killing people with kindness. Because let's just take women as an example. When you give a woman everything she wants, is she satisfied?
No, never. You can't satisfy her.
Not for how long. Yeah. Women, women in my experience usually want only one thing, more. And when it comes to I'm an alcoholic, right? I've been sober for 4 years. I had to hit rock bottom. I went to jails, psych wards, whatever. I've lost my mind, and then I got better and, sober and everything's good. But I had to hit rock bottom. And I hit rock bottom because people withdrew their charity from me, and I got everything I wanted, and I lived life the way I wanted to live, and I ran myself into the ground. There's got to be a way there's not a way to vote welfare out, but there is a way to give so much charity that we either go bankrupt or we have to pull it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? There's got to be something.
I think I do. Like, I mean, there's no welfare in Venezuela when they're eating out of garbage cans. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. What?
Throw us into complete poverty and collapse the economy so there's no more welfare. Is that the solution?
Well, that's the way it's going to go, man. Because we all, our society here in the United States does want more. Even with Trump, dude, like our freaking expenditure is like way higher than it's ever been. He's putting us further into debt than Obama did. So there's not a way out of this vortex, and I don't believe that we can vote our way out of this. I tell people at work I'm voting for Bernie Sanders in a roughneck freaking industry. It's hilarious. I get so upset, but Bernie's no good either. But yeah, man, you're right. It is coming. We do get to enjoy what we have right now. But while we're enjoying that, we should also realize that we do have the responsibility to prepare physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in any capacity that we can so that we can help others, help ourselves, learn more, and see more of the truth.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but it is coming.
Yeah, when I find time, I've been going through the Old Testament. I'm not religious, but I'm not an atheist either. But there's some good stuff in there.
Agnostic, yeah.
Yeah, agnostic, I guess. I mean, I don't even know if that's the right term. Like, I don't doubt the presence of, like, a higher power.
You believe in the possibility of...
Yeah.
Yeah, you believe in the possibility of a higher power.
Yeah.
That's agnostic. That's kind of what I am, too.
Yeah, and, there's some good stuff in there in the Old Testament that's kind of predictive of what's coming and what we're going through right now. And it's sad, but it... what time period would you want to be born in? Like fucking World War II, you want to go fight on the beaches and die there? Or do you want to like grow old in a decadent society? I don't know. It's a tough decision to make because there's on one hand,
I would want to be born as a man, Comanche, freaking what, like, a Comanche Indian back when we only had single shot guns, because the Comanche just kicked our ass, that united, you know, white people's asses for like 100 years. They were the freest you could ever be. They freaking lived awesome lives, you know, just eating buffalo, having a few wives, and just enjoying themselves. That's what I would want to be born into, that kind of thing.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
and that's
so I wouldn't want to be a white I wouldn't want to be a white settler back then, though, because they, you know,
you don't want to get scalped.
The Comanche were brutal, dude. I just read a book by about that history that I've never, dude. You, it's so interesting with history, man. You freaking hear stories of, you know, in school and whatnot, you're raised, and then you read an actual history book that has first account freaking documentation. It's completely different. They were so brutal to us, and then we started being brutal back. But yeah, that's the time frame that I'd want to be born in.
Awesome.
Not necessarily today.
Yeah, that's a good answer, I think. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to keep yourself occupied, to study and learn when you're not tied down and married. Like those married guys, they go to work and they come home and they just have to endure that constant nagging. Now you and I are free to study these things and to learn about these things. And that should get you excited, you know, because a lot of guys get sad and depressed when they lose that opportunity to be a slave to a woman. And
so
when those guys,
yeah.
when they get upset, you know, they're missing the bigger picture. They don't understand that there's so much more opportunity available to them now that they've gone MGTOW. And I hope in time that they find that.
Yeah, instead of sacrificing your life to a family and providing, you get to sacrifice your life to a higher cause, and that higher cause is the higher you. You got to look at it that way, man. You're learning, you're growing. So it's when you're going to work and you only got $20 in your pocket, do you freaking give the $20 to the bum? Because if you do that, man, you're not going to have gas to get to work. Versus you can give a dollar to the bum maybe if you want. But I you got to help yourself before you can help anybody else. So even if you do want to get married and have the whole life, she still has to have something to take from you before she agrees to marrying you. Fucking live your life. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, that was an excellent first call. I'm surprised that you never called in before. So thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, not a problem, man. You have yourself a phenomenal night.
You
appreciate
as well.
You.
Yeah, take care.
Peace.
YouTube does not approve of our conversations. Hermit's channel has been demonetized since its creation, and now its growth is being throttled. Let's enjoy this moment of MGTOW for as long as we can, but the show will always continue on our Discord server. It truly is one of the last male spaces. No thoughts allowed. And finally, if you would like to experience the future, head over to the Dollhouse. You can use the affiliate code in the description. The Dollhouse has something for every man. You can even get a replica of me, Hermit's waifu. See you on the next video.